with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord. It seems that we are always in the presidential campaign mode, and different groups are working in different ways. As you will see in the parish emails, bulletins, and announcements, St. Charles will be sponsoring a talk and discussion on how we as Catholics should prepare for the actual election later this month, and I presume it will be one of a series. My friends and I in the ministerial business are seeking ways to address the marital and family strife and conflict that two-party households will face. Although I did not have to deal with a post-presidential election divorce in 2016, I do know families which have not had a family gathering since then and have presided over two very strained funerals. What would Jesus feel about this? I think he'd feel envy. We as a nation, indeed a culture, are divided among ourselves, and the choices we make in so many areas require that we disagree substantially with other people, including some of our dearest friends and closest relations. This will not be a peaceful experience. The very passion, perhaps violence, will show its seriousness and how totally a way of life defines a person's very being. This is what Jesus expects and wants, but too often gets complacency instead. 3 weeks ago, we heard Jesus say, "I am come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." He went on to tell us that this will be experienced most forcibly in the family. From now on, a household of five will be divided 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. There are times, indeed, generations in which people are not challenged to consciously choose for or against Jesus and the way of life he demands. For better or worse, this is not one of them. Unless you have been hiding in a cave somewhere, you know that everything you have been taught about your Catholic faith is under assault. Understandably, this can be very disturbing. Yet more disturbing is that I think Jesus is quite pleased with this. This is the way it's supposed to be. As a professor of mine many years ago repeatedly said, some truths must make a bloody entrance. Let me add that Jesus is truth incarnate, and that realizing that will not be experienced lightly. The external irritants of the age can be helpful in opening our minds and hearts to ask the basic question of who or what do we worship? Today's reading is essentially an exercise in how to answer this. Last week, Jesus is in the house of a leading Pharisee. He is still there this week. Our passage began with, great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. The houses of the rich were constructed so that a distinguished guest would be entertained in an area that would face the street. The important people of the community would be inside the house, but others were allowed to stand outside. It is like today when large TV screens are placed outside an auditorium when an overflow crowd is expected. There is a section between what we read last week and what we read this week. It is the story of a man who gave a great dinner and the invited guests did not come. The full text may be found with the commentary in our weekly email on our website. Jesus chose the excuses that the people gave very carefully. One bought a field and another has just been married. These were the two reasons a man could give for opting out of fighting in a holy war. They both reflected the concern for continued productivity and made great sense in that time and place. Yet Jesus says that he is more important than even the continued prosperity of Israel. This was meant to not only be shocking, but positively offensive. He now continues this, but is addressing a wider audience. This is for everyone. First, he tells us all that we must hate father and mother. Indeed, everyone, including ourselves, if we are to follow him. It is customary to point out at this time that Semitic peoples use exaggeration for emphasis, and it could, in our terms, be better translated as love less or put into a lower place. Yet, there is a real insight. If we put Jesus first and live accordingly, that others will feel put aside and the reaction will be strong. And hate may not be a bad word for what results. Our response needs to be equally passionate. A complacent disciple is an oxymoron. Family is always important, and in Jesus' day, essential for survival. Even today, we see how people construct their lives around family. Yet if this is the dead center, then it is a dead end. We are worshiping the family, not Jesus. And Jesus will have none of it. Only Jesus can be at the very center, be the core of our lives, if we will have a happy and successful life. It is essential to be Christians that we look at the way we actually live. If you consider a 60-hour week part-time employment, then is your job your God? If you arrange your life around it, then the office is your church, your laptop, your rosary, and your paycheck, communion. Any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. Now, this does not mean that any of us must live in sackcloth and ashes, and I hope that you all attain the worldly success that can add to your happiness. But that happiness must be based on Jesus, with everything else revolving around him. We need not despise the desire for the corner office, as we do not hate our family, but we need to love them less for themselves and to love them for and in Jesus. The images of the person who could not finish the tower or win a war are stark reminders that if we find being a Christian easy, then we are not carrying the cross, and our attempts to follow him will end in disaster and humiliation. Discipleship is not for the faint-hearted, and it is best not to try if we are only half-hearted. So, why bother? In a few chapters hence, Peter will tell Jesus, "We have given up our possessions and followed you." Jesus, after frankly telling Peter that this is expected, tells him as well, "None of you will not receive back an overabundant return in this present age, and eternal life in the age to come." Jesus will not wander into our lives and place himself at its center. Sometime in our earthly existence, whether here or now, or in years to come, or perhaps some years ago, we must put him there. It will be neither easy nor painless, because he wants everything we have. But let us be assured that it will ultimately be joyous, because he will give us more than we can possibly imagine.